Today's daf is Kiddushin Yud Zayin. We're going to start about 15 lines from the bottom where it says Bishlama at the beginning of the line. Yesterday we started, just to go back for a second, we had two brightot. We were trying to figure out Rish Lakish's shita. Okay, if you remember, Rish Lakish at the bottom of Tetzayin Aleph said, in Amav Riyakona, that's Ma B'mitata Av. Remember, if her father dies, then she's released. We brought all these brightot to try to say, well, look, it's not listed here, right? Until each one we kind of answered up, either Tana B'Shir or some other answer. We didn't like the time of Bashir, but in other words, he left it off. Why did he leave it off? Because it wasn't this type, this is a type that doesn't have a kitzbah. There's no time frame. And therefore, the death, which could happen any time, we leave off. But the last source said mitata adon. And mitata adon, you can't answer that answer, basically. The mitata adon is the same as the mitata av, and yet it was listed. The mitata av wasn't, so it should have listed it. So they say that's a question on Rish Lakish. Then they brought this other source, which is they brought these two brightot. Okay, we can even start there. Tani chada, one brightot says, enik evit ivri, it's a few lines before the bishlama. Enik evit ivri latzmo, ve'enik ama ivriya latzma. The gift that you give, and we're going to talk a lot today about this gift that the Eved gives when he leaves. The gift of the Eved Ivri goes to himself, and the Amai Vriya goes to herself. The other Braita says, Tan Idach, Enek Amai Vriya Umitziyata La'aviha, goes to her father. Ve'en L'Rabba Elascharba Talabilva. When it comes to the Mitziya, which isn't our issue really, the Adon doesn't get it, but he gets the amount of time that she wasn't working while she was collecting this Aveda. So now they say, well, how can we rectify these two brightot? How can we reconcile them? My love, hadanafka b'simanim, v'hadanafka le'b'mitata av. Right? One is she left b'simanim, and therefore she's still under the reshut of her father. She goes back to her father. The other is she left b'mitata av, and that's why he doesn't get her enik, but she gets it herself. So then they say, lo, idi v'idi, and that was to try to support Rish Lakish, that is b'mitata av. And now they say, no. You don't necessarily have to assume that. You could say, both were simanim, but why does one go to the father and one doesn't? One is the father was alive, and one is the father was no longer alive. He died beforehand, not that he died and that's why she was released from being an ama. No, he died beforehand. So now they say, now we're going to talk about this source in general. Bishlama enek amai v'yalatzma l'mi'ute achim. We understand that she gets it to herself, meaning that it doesn't go, if there's no father, it doesn't go to her brothers. So her brothers don't get her property. Why? How do we know this? Titania, v'hinachaltem otam lebnechem acharechem. Okay, this is the pasuk we've seen. If you have slaves that are avadim knanim, you pass them on to your children. So now what are we going to darshan here? Otam lebnechem, v'lo benotechem lebnechem. What do you pass on to your sons? Your avadim knanim, but not your daughters. Again, the whole comparison between the daughters and the avadim, right? So your sons inherit your slaves, your non-Jewish slaves, but they don't inherit your daughters. Mikan she'en adam morish tchut bito lebeno. This is where we learn that a person doesn't pass on all the tchuyot, the ma'asei adayim, and everything else that he gets from the daughter doesn't go to the sons. But so that makes sense that it says it. Ella, the other line in the Braita, Enek Eved Ivri La'atzmo Pshita. Who else is going to get the Enek Eved Ivri, right? Where else is it going to go besides to himself? Obviously, it's going to go to him. So why does it tell us this? Ella Leman, Amrav Yosef Yud Keret Kachazina. Okay, this is a strange line. I'll give you one explanation of it. Yud Keret, Yud is very small, and Keret, they say, is a city. We turned a little teeny thing into a city. In other words, they took something that was totally obvious and they made a big deal about it.
It's not
from a mohel. Right, a mountain out of a mohel, exactly. Kachazina hachia. That's what we see here. Okay. Abai amar, here's a different answer. Hachi amar of Sheshet, hamane tutai. It goes like tutai. You've never heard this guy, but we'll see. Maybe we'll see him somewhere else in Shas. can pretty much vouch for the fact that I don't think I've ever seen him yet at this point. This is Tutaihu. Titania Tutai Omer Lo Velo Labal Chovo. It's coming to be Mechadesh. If you remember, we learned this a long time ago. It's called Shibuda de Rabbi Natan, that if you owe someone money and they go to pay you back something that they owe you, or they can go directly to the guy that you're owed. So now what do we learn about this Enik Ivet Ivri? It can't go. It doesn't work like that. Even though other things work like that, it can't go to the Baal Chov. So if you want to give your Eved Ivri this, you have to give this Eved Ivri his enek. Let's say, okay, we'll talk about what exactly this is. You give it to him. If you want to give it to someone he owes money to, you're not allowed to. Okay, it has to go directly to him, and that's the chiddush here. Okay, gufa. Now we're going to talk about this ma'anak that he gets. Eil ma'anikim lahem. These are the people who get hayotze b'shanim u'b'yovel u'b'mitat adon v'amai v'ya b'simanim. Right, so the people who go out with Shanim, this is the source we saw before, the one that talked about the Mitat HaAdon. In the Yovel, when the Adon dies, remember we saw a different one that said it was four, and it was instead of the Mitat HaAdon, it was the Nirtza B'Yovel. Okay, that someone who is pierced goes out B'Yovel. And the Amai V'Yabba Simanim. Aval, now here we get a new line. Okay, we didn't read the whole thing. They quoted us just the part that they were concerned about, which was the Mitat HaAdon. Now, what do they tell you? Boreach v'yotze b'gera'on kesef ein ma'anikim lo. But someone who runs away, okay, and then let's say, so we're going to see exactly what the case is of runs away, but he runs away and then somehow gets right, and then let's say the Yovel year comes, or, okay, and then...
Is it an or an end?
It's an or. So if you're boreach, or you buy your way out of slavery, okay, where you're buying your way out and not that he's sending you out, okay, or you run away and not that he's sending you away, ein ma'anikim lo. Rabbi Meir omer, boreach ein ma'anikim lo, v'yotze b'gera on kesef ma'anikim lo. He says, no, if you run away, everyone agrees, you know. But, yotze b'gera on kesef, Rabbi Meir thinks you do get this gift, okay, whereas the Tanakhama thought you didn't get it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now it's very unclear whether he's disagreeing with someone, whether he's just giving numbers to things. It's not so clear what he's doing here. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Arba'a ma'anikim lahem, Shlosha v'ish v'shlosha v'isha, v'iyata yochal omar arba'a echad mehem, l'fi she'en simanim v'ish u'ritziya v'isha. Okay, which seems to be saying, if you read his words carefully, that he's disagreeing with the very first line of the Braita. Because he has the Ritziah, and he doesn't have the Mitat HaAdon. So that's the most likely thing of what's going on here, which we already saw his line also. Now we see that this is all in one Braita. Okay, so we started off, it's actually an interesting, right, we started off with the Eilu Ma'anikim Lahem. Then we had the exception about the Boreach and the Yotze B'Gera'on. Then we had a machloket about it, where Rabbi Meir said, no, I distinguish between the Boreach and the Gera'on. And then Rabbi Shimon disagrees with, in what cases you get out, right? And that is whether it's the Mitat HaAdon or the Ritziah B'Yoga. Okay, he has a different list. Minahan Emile. Now we're going to talk about, how do you know about this Enik and the Boreach? How do you know that the Boreach and the Gera'on Kesef don't get this gift? Ditana Rabbanan, Yachol lo yehu ma'anikim ela liyotze b'shesh. You might have thought only the yotze b'shesh gets the enek. Why? Look at the psukim for a minute, if you still have the sheet from yesterday. Dvarim perek tevav, it says, ki macher lecha achicha yivriyo evriyah, vavadcha shesh shanim, so he works for you for 6 years, then he goes, b'shana shvi tishachenu chofshi me'imach, and then it says, okay, so this is only talking about the shesh shanim. Says, and when you go out, v'chi tishachenu chofshi me'imach, lo tishachenu rekam. Ha'aneg ta'anik lo. Okay, remember all this psukim, we're going to darshan them. When you send him free, don't send him empty-handed. Ha'aneg ta'anik lo. Give him a gift, mitzoncha u'migarnecha u'miyikvecha. Okay, give him from your tzon, from your goren, which is your tfu'ah, your wheat, and your yekev, your wine. Asher berachacha Hashem elokecha titein lo. From the things that God bless you, that's what you're supposed to give him. Okay, so now let's read. So you might have thought this is only b'yotze shesh, says the Braita, right? Because it says yotze shesh. That's the context here. Minayin l'rabot yotze b'yovel u'b'mitat adon v'amai v'ya b'simanim. Where do you learn all the others? Talmud lomar tishachenu v'chi tishachenu. You see, there's the ribuy, because it said, Bashana Shvi'it, in the first pasuk, you bet, Tishachenu Chavshimeimach. Then it says, V'chi Tishachenu. It has all these extra words that aren't necessary. So then it says, well, if we're going to be Mirabeh, Yachosh Ani Mirabeh Boreach Liyotzei Begera on Kesef. So then let's be Mirabeh all the cases, even someone who runs away or someone who buys their way out. Talmud Lamar, V'chi Tishachenu Chavshimeimach. Mi Sheshiluchom Meimach. It's only if you set him free. Okay, now I want to just think about where to add this, but maybe this is the perfect place. Some of the Mefarshim here learn from this law also to the law of Pitzuyim. You have to give someone severance pay, okay, when you fire them. And then there's a whole issue, are you halachically bound to do this? Okay, so you might say, we can learn this from the Eved Ivri. What does this say? First of all, it reminded me right now, because right, when do you pay severance? Right, the law here anyway is that only if you fire them, but not if they quit, which is like the same type of thing here, right? If they buy their way out, right? So I just wanted to show you in the Shulchan Aruch here, there were some poskim who, it's not exactly clear from the Shulchan Aruch here, but the Shulchan Aruch in Dinei Poalim says, you have to remember, there's a difference between Poalim and Eved Ivri, right? Avadim is different. So you might say that severance pay is only relevant for Eved Ivri and not for a regular worker. Okay? Because that's really what this is. It's severance pay. You're giving him stuff to basically get his feet on the ground so he can rebuild his life. That's what's going on here. So in Siman Shin Lamed Aleph of the Shulchan Aruch, there's all different dinim about Socher Poalim. Let's say you say lahashkim ulahariv, you have to work extra hours, so it depends. Makom shenagu shelo lahashkim velo lahariv, he can't force them. In other words, it depends on what the minhag makom is. If people work overtime hours in general, then you're allowed to. If people don't, then you're not allowed to. It says makom shenagu lazun yazun. If people feed their workers, then you have to feed your workers. And basically, in all these cases, he says it's all taloi b'minhag makom. So there are poskim who, based on this, say that if the minhag hamakom is to pay pitzuyim, I need the sheet inside. If the minhag hamakom is to pay pitzuyim, then you have to pay pitzuyim. In other words, based on the fact that the Shulchan Aruch depended other halachot on minhag hamakom, so this also might be dependent on minhag hamakom, and therefore you might actually be obligated to pay severance pay. Okay, so if someone doesn't, in theory, you could take them to court on it. Anyway. It's an interesting.
It would make more sense that it's just a shesh and name situation, because in order to have severance, you have to have a certain minimum amount.
Yafeh. So then there's an issue of minimum amount. So how many years? And we're going to talk about, it's very interesting. It's all labor laws today. So we're going to talk about, what if he was sick for some of the years? Does he get sick pay? Does he not get sick pay? There's a lot of interesting halachot that come out of here. So, okay. So now what does it say? So therefore, only if you sent him off rather than the Boreach Liyotzei Begera on Kesef that you didn't send off. Rabbi Meir Omer, Boreach Ein Ma'anikim Lo, De'ein Shiluchom Me'imach, Aval, why does he distinguish between the Boreach? So the Boreach Ein Shiluchom Me'imach, Aval Yotzei Begera on Kesef, Sheshiluchom Me'imach. Okay? Even if he buys his way out, in the end, you send him free. Because you get the money, and then you say, okay, I got the money that you paid me, now you're free. So that's different than a borech. A borech ran off on his own. He's free because he ran off, okay? But if he paid his way out, that's still considered that you set him free, even though he initiated, right? But you actually did the act of setting him free. Now they're going to ask, borech hashlamabai. Doesn't Boreach need, how could you say that the Boreach isn't sent off by the master? Someone who runs away, hashlamabai, he has to go make up the years that he, right? If he runs away, you have to bring him back, and he has to work for the years he was supposed to work. How do we know? Detanya minayin leBoreach shechayav lashlim, Talmud lomar, sheish shanim yaavod. He has to work for 6 years. It doesn't matter if he ran off. So in the end, what's going to happen? You're going to take him back. He's going to finish off his years, and then you're going to send him free. So why shouldn't he get his ma'anak at that point? So now we're in the middle of the Braita first. So the Braita says, "Minay leBoreach shechayav lashlim, sheish shanim yaavod. Yachol afilu chala." Maybe even if you were sick, here we get to the sick days, maybe you'd have to make up all the sick days that you missed. Talmud lomar, ubashvi'it yetzei. He goes out, right? On the one hand, it says you have to work 6 years. On the other hand, it works, but it says, but on the seventh year he goes free. Mm-hmm. So it means that somebody has to work 6 years. On the other hand, there's someone who goes free on the seventh year, despite the fact that he might not have worked all 7 years. So therefore, they say someone who's sick is the one who it says about he goes free on the seventh year. The one who ran away has to work the full 6 years. You follow that? You don't really need both of them. If you have to work for 6 years, obviously he goes free on the seventh. So they're darshaning the extra rewards there. Amar of Sheshet, hacha b'maya skinan. So now we have to answer. The Bereach, if he has to be mashlim the years, so wasn't he mashlim the years, and therefore you set him free at the end of the 6 years, and then you should give him the mana. So Amar of Sheshet, hacha b'maya skinan, kigon shabarach upaga bo yovel. He ran away, you brought him back, he started working for you again, but then Yovel happened. So, ma'u detema ho il va'apik le Yovel, shiluchome imach krinam bay, velo niknese v'na nikle, ka mashmalan. You might have thought that since the Yovel came, and therefore since the Yovel came, who sets him free? You set him free. The owner sets him free. So therefore, you might have said, we're not going to be konesato, we'll give him the gift, we're not going to penalize him. Kamashmalan, therefore it comes to teach you, Sheshanim Yavod, no, he has to work his full 6 years. If he works his full 6 years, he gets the manak. If he doesn't, because the Yovel came in its place, then he doesn't get his manak. This is all about someone who ran away. Now we're going to get to the sick pay. Amar Mar, Yachol Afilu Chala, Talmud Lamar, Ubashvi'it Yetze. Afilu Chala Kol Shesh. Oh, so now they're going to ask, Afilu Chala Kol Shesh, even if he was sick all 6 years, V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, chala shalosh v'avad shalosh, eno chayav lashlim. If he was sick for 3 years and he worked for 3 years, he doesn't have to pay, fill in, you know, rework all those 3 years. Chala kol shesh chayav lashlim. But if he was sick for all six, he has to be mashlim those years. Now, obviously, what's missing here? Ah, yafet. Huge gap. So, we're going to talk about it right now. Okay, so there's half versus the whole. What about 3/4, 2/3, anything in between. Amar of Sheshet. So first we have to deal with this contradiction. Okay, it sounded like the chala doesn't have to be mashlim even all 6 years if he was sick. And here the Braita says it is. So what does Rav Sheshet say? Bo sema semachat. It's about a guy who's sick, so he can't do hard labor, but he can sit and sew. In other words, they're sick where you're not working at all. But what did we say about the Eved Ivri? And how this is going to lead us to something that Tosfot talks about. An Eved Ivri is someone who's gufo kanoi. Remember we saw that yesterday? Which we said, it doesn't mean like an Eved Kanani, the gufo kanoi, that you own him entirely, but you do own rights. It's like having someone live in your house. If she's living in and she's sick, in theory she could do small things while she's there and be working. But someone who's living in their own house and gets sick, they just don't show up to work. Right? So there's a difference. So what they're saying is, it's an Eved Ivri, gufo kanoi, to a certain extent, so we can do small jobs. And therefore, that's considered as if he worked, okay? Even though he's not doing the work that maybe you assumed he was going to be working. But he's considered working. So therefore, in that case, if he was doing small things, then he doesn't have to be mashlim. But if he was sick for all 6 years and didn't do anything, he was so sick he couldn't function at all, then we would say that you don't have to, then he would have to make up the years. So now they're going to talk about what Ruth said. Haguf akashia, what do you mean? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Amart chala shalosh v'avad shalosh ein chayav lashlim, which would imply ha'arba, but once it's over the halfway point, chayav lashlim. But then, ema seifa, the seifa says, chala kol shesh chayav lashlim. Ha'arba'a ein chayav lashlim, right? But if you only missed 4 years, it sounds like you wouldn't. Only if you missed all 6 years, you have to redo it. So what do they say? Hachi kamar, this is the way you read it. Chala dalid, if you're sick for four, Na'asa kemisha chala kol shesh v'chayav lashlim. It's really the three. Once you're over the three-year mark, then it's already as if you missed everything, and you have to be mashlim. So once you're over the half, then you have to. Clearly, our sick laws don't match this, right? Because sick laws are more, you know, you get, I think it's 16 days a year to be sick, something like that. You know, you don't get half the year to be sick and still get paid. Tosfot actually says that maybe you would learn from, he says here, if you look at Tosfot for a minute, chala shalosh v'avad shalosh, I'm not going to go into all the details, but those who are interested, you can look at it later. It quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia that we've been learning on Tuesday mornings about the Paalim and being chozer bo, the very first sugya about the, if they're on their way to the, right, there's a wedding and then they're supposed to bring stuff and then they get sick or they, they, you know, some onus happens. So he quotes that. Anyway, there's a whole question here. Yesh hayu rotzim lomar, shotam schirim melamdei tinokot. Okay, here they talk about the teachers. Okay, the teachers who were teaching kids to, you know, Torah. Im chalu chatzi zman, kemo chen lo yuhu mashlimim et zmanam kemo eved ivri. Okay, now what do they say? Some people want to learn from here, and the Mordechai is actually the one who says this. The melamdei tinokot who were sick half the time don't have to make up their time, and they get their full pay. And Tosfot goes crazy about this. He says, what are you talking about? How can you compare an Eved Ivri to a worker? There's no comparison. He basically says in the end that an Eved Ivri, because gufo kanoi la adono, because he's owned by him, he has a different status. And that's why. In other words, it's almost like what's maybe worse for him, that his gufo is kanoi, but ends up to his advantage. That therefore, if he's sick, it's the owner's responsibility and he has to pay him anyway. But a worker who doesn't show up to work, he doesn't get paid for sick days, right? It's a whole kind of socialism versus capitalism. You know, do you pay people for their sick days? Do you not? It's very interesting. Okay, so just interesting to see the different machlokot that come out of this. Because again, this is clearly Eved Ivri, not Poalim. And then how do you take this to Poalim? So they obviously bring in the sugya about the Poalim in Bava Metzia, the sixth parak, which we'll see when we get there. But anyway, it's interesting.
So if he's sick for 4 years, does he have to make up 1 year, or does he have to make up?
That's a good question. So it seems to me like he has to make up all the years, but it's a good question. I'm not sure, right? Because you might say, well, then it's like as if it didn't happen at all, and he would have to make it up. But I don't wonder if there's hitahasud. I didn't look it up. I'll quickly look here and see if it says something.
It's a long time to be sick.
Yes, it is a long time to be sick.
Does it have to be all together, or could it be... You know, by the end of 6 years, have you been sick a half a year here? And
you know, more than a couple of days.
Yeah, it says here, you have to be Muslim kol hazman, even the, right, the Ritva, the Meiri, but there is in the, right, this is obvious, in the Meiri it says there's an opposing opinion that he quotes. Mm-hmm. It's a machloket about whether you'd have to do all of them, because once this happened, the reason why I was noted to say that probably all of them, because I've seen this, I can't remember where, but other cases where it's either this, right, once you go over... It's like all gone, you know. You've way past, and it's almost. I've seen. I can't remember where, but it's usually the general approach to do that. But you see, there's an opposing opinion quoted. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Now we get to Kama Mani Kimlo. Okay, how much does he get? Right. This is. Do you give a month's severance pay? Do you give? Right. So now, obviously, in the Torah, they defined it as. Obviously, they're going to have to say, why do you have to mention all three? What's unique about these things? And what we're going to have is a klalu pratu klal, if you remember, we've learned that before, where the pasuk is general, ha'anik ta'aniklo, right? That's general. Give him a gift. Then it has a prat, mitzoncha u'migarnecha u'mi'ikvecha, and then it has a klal, which is, asher berach Hashem Elokecha titein lo. From all that God blessed, you give him. So what we've learned about it, what's interesting here is they learn a klal, pratu klal, but they don't say it in those terms. So that's why I'm saying it in those terms. Because the Gemara is not going to put it in those terms, but the Mefarshim will say this is clearly a klal, pratu klal. And what's the law about a klal, pratu klal? That you generalize from here, but you generalize only things that are similar to the pratim. So you have to come up with what's unique about those three things, and therefore, what kind of gifts are we allowed to give, and what kind of gifts are we not allowed to. Or not that we're not allowed to, but that wouldn't constitute a proper gift. Tana Rabbanan, kama ma'anikim lo, chamesh sla'im mikol min v'min, shehem chamesh esre sla'im divrei Rabbi Meir. He says 5 sla'im from each type, okay, which is altogether 15. 5 sla'im of tzoncha, 5 sla'im of the tvuah, and 5 sla'im of the wine. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda omer shloshim, Kishloshim shel eved, 30 sla'im, now he means altogether, not 30 of each type, 30 sla'im altogether, okay, like the eved. If you remember the eved, if you hit your eved, knock out his tooth, he goes, you have to pay, oh no, that's something else. If the ox gores the eved, then you have to pay him 30 shekel. That was here, Shmo kafala flamet bed, im eved yigach hashur. Oh, Amma, this is from yesterday's page, it's on there. Kesef shloshim shkalim yiten ladona vashur yisakel. Okay. So that's where they get the 30 from. Rabbi Shimon omer chamishim kechamishim shebe'erchin. What are we giving him? The value of a person. As he gets the value of what we would value. If someone says, I'm giving the value of a person to the Beit HaMikdash, Now, if you recall, Erechin, I don't know if you remember this, but in the Torah, where this whole thing about what the value of people are, depends, it ranges from 5 to 50. 50 is the highest. So, interestingly enough, what do they say, according to this opinion? Rabbi Shimon says he gets the highest value of a person because he's a male and he's
hard,
an Ivri.
Well, he's capable.
He's capable, right, exactly. He's of age, he should get the highest. So, first of all, this is just interesting in terms of what they're learning it from, right? One is learning it from, okay, so we're going to see, where did the Chamesh Tzla'im come? We're going to learn it from, we'll see it in a minute, we're going to learn it from the Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon Bechor, right? The value there also, it's the value of a person, and it's the least value. Then we have the Eved, which makes the most sense to learn from another case of an Eved, where an Eved gets a value of money. And the third is to base it on the value of, the highest value of a human being. So it's an interesting of the different opinions here. So now we're going to show where they all get it from. Amar Mar, Chamesh Tzla'im Mikol Min V'Min, Shehem Chamesh Esrei Tzla'im, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So first they have a problem with this. What he's doing, like basic math, V'Rabbi Meir, Minyana Atal Ashmiyon, what we didn't know, that if it's Chamesh Tzla'im Mikol Min V'Min, that 5 times 3 is 15. Ha Kamash Malan, Mivtzar Hu Delo Mivtzar Le Mehai Minyana, V'Batzar Le Mechad Mina, Utfe Le Mechad Mina, Le Lamba. What is he coming to teach us? You can't give less than 15, but what you can do is you can give 4 of one and 6 of another and 5 of the other. And as you can play within each mean, but what do you definitely need? You need something of each mean, and you need 15 altogether, but within that you can play around.
You could as easily have learned that in the other direction. It absolutely has to be 5 of each.
Yeah, I don't see how you...
No, because he says in the end you need 15. So because he says if you need 5 of each, he already said you need 5 of each.
Oh, okay.
But then when he says 15, that sounds like a mispar kolel, which seems like you can mix and match.
What if someone has some fourth kind of animal?
So we're going to talk about that. So my time is Rabbi Meir. Yalef, so why does Rabbi Meir learn the 30? Yalef rekam rekam, Rabbi Meir who learns the 5, where does he learn it from? Yalef rekam rekam mi bechor. It's not just, oh, let's learn from bechor, but there's a gzera shava. Ma lahalan chamesh leim, af kan chamesh leim. Okay, what's the rekam by us? The rekam by us is lo teshachenu rekam. Remember, pasuk yugimel and dvarim tefav. You can't send him empty-handed. And the rekam by the bechor is peter, it's a shmot lamedalek pasukaf. U peter chamor tifteh b'seh. Yim lo tifteh b'arafto. Okay, not important. Second part of that pasuk, kol bechor banecha tifteh v'lo yera'u panai rekam. Okay, and they shouldn't see my face empty-handed. So we learn rekam there, empty-handed, empty-handed here, 5, 5. Okay, malan chamesh, afkan chamesh le. Ve'ema chamesh le'im mikulhu. So maybe you should say that you need... Maybe you would need then if chamesh le'im is the measurement, and we have gornechat, so in chamik vecha, then it should be 5 of each. Where do you get this idea that you can mix and match, and it doesn't need to be 5 of each? So what do they say? Iktiv rekam levasov kid kamarta. If it said hanetanit lo mitzum chamri gornechamik vecha lo tishachenu rekam, then you would say that the rekam is modifying each one, and then you'd say each one needs 5. But hasha dichtiv rekam bereisha, since it says rekam before it mentions all the details, shade rekam atzon, rekam agorim, rekam ayekev, rekam ayekev. In other words, you could throw the rekam onto all of them and mix them all up together. Venela rekam rekam eolat riyah. If you didn't think about this already, right? When you hear that term lo yireu panai rekam, it probably, right, the main time everybody knows that from, because we say it in our tefillot all the time, is not Rosh Chodesh, from the Shalosh Regalim, right? Yeah. So lo yireu panai rekam, you have to go to the Bein HaMikdash. So why don't we learn a meolat riyah? And olat riyah, the rabbis learn out. Now, some of the refreshim say, okay, there's a whole machloket there about whether you need two there's a machloket about whether the value needs to be 2 me'ah, okay, which is much less money. Remember we said the me'ah is a sixth of the dinar, and it's much less money. So anyway, maybe you just need 2 me'ah, which is a minimum amount of a korban. There's a whole thing there about whether you actually need that, or it could be any amount, whether mida oraita or mida rabbanan. In the end, they say it's only an amount mida rabbanan, but you'd have to say, the mafreshim say, our sugi must be talking about according to the one who thinks it's a doraita. Because if it's not a doraita amount, then it would be irrelevant to learn it out from the pasuk. Anyway, without getting into all the details, Me'olat Riyah, why do we learn from there? That's a much smaller amount. We're also, it's Rekam Rekam. So what do they say? Now here we're going to have a whole back and forth about this. Amar Kra, not exactly back and forth, but we're going to see conflicting views here. Amar Kra, Asher Beracha Hashem Elokecha. What does that mean? Asher Beracha means should give him from whatever God blessed you. Now, whenever you talk about blessing, what does it make it sound? Like a lot. In other words, if you have a choice between a smaller amount and a larger amount, we're going to choose the larger amount. So if you have the two me'ah, you could learn Reikam from there. Or you could learn Reikam from the Bechor, which is Chamesh Slim. We're going to learn it from the larger number. Okay, what I'm kind of saying is that soon we're going to say the opposite. Okay? But now we're saying this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shloshim, Kishloshim Shel Eved. Okay, we go with the Shloshim of the Eved. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. Another Gzeira Shava. Yalef Nitina Nitina Me Eved. Mala Halan Shloshim, Afkan Shloshim. So where does it say? It says Hanek Taniklo, right? Mitzorcham, Asher Berach Hashem Lokecha, Titain Lo. It says the word Natan, okay, Titain. And it says, Im Eved Yigach Hashur, O Ama, Kesef Shloshim Shkalim, Yitain La Adonav. Okay, so you have the Nitina, Nitina in both. So therefore, we're going to learn Makan Shloshim, Avkan Shloshim. V'neilav, Netina, Netina, Me'erchin. But you know, by Erchin, it also says Netina. So why don't you say Gzeira Sheva from there? There it says, V'natana ta'erkacha b'yomu kodesh la'ashem. Also, there's Netina. And why don't you learn? Mala halan kamishim, Avkan kamishim. So here he's going to have to answer the opposite, right? That we're going to go by the lower amount. Did I skip something?
No.
Okay. So chada de tafasta maruba lo tafasta tafasta mua tafasta. One answer is, and we're going to have two reasons. One reason is if you try to do too much, you don't get anything, right? This is, people always quote this, right? Don't try to do too much. In other words, we want to go with a decent amount, but don't go overboard. 50 is already overboard. Okay, remember, this is all, right, socialism, right? You have to worry about protecting the workers. On the other hand, you also have to worry about protecting the employer. So now we're going to say, don't do too much. Number two, ve'od, eved me'eved, havalei le'melech. We're smarter to learn eved from eved and not eved from erchin. Rabbi Shimon omer, chamishim kecham. Now we're going to ping pong back the other way, because obviously Rabbi Shimon's going to say, right, we're going with the largest amount. So he's going to obviously not say the tafasta maruba. So Rabbi Shimon omer chamishim, kechamishim shebe'erchin. So my time is Rabbi Shimon. What's he obviously going to learn? Gamar netina netina me'erchin, right? He learns the gzera shava netina netina from erchin, not from eved. Mal halan chamishim, afkan chamishim. So now they say, ve'ema bepachot shebe'erchin. Why don't we go with a minimum amount of erchin? You know, there's all different values there. We could pick a different value. Asher beracha Hashem Elokecha k'tiv, right? So we're going to say no, because it says asher beracha, meaning given from the most. Okay, v'neilach netina netina me'eved. Why don't you learn the gzera sheva from eved? Mala alan shloshim afkan shloshim. Because you should have said chada de tafasta meruba lo tafasta v'od eved me'eved havalei le'melech. In other words, they're saying if you're going to learn this gzera sheva netina, we just gave two very good reasons: tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Don't do too much. Don't go overboard. And number two, we should learn eved from an eved case. So therefore, he has very good claims. So what do they say? Therefore, it doesn't make sense that his gzera sheva is the netina gzera sheva. Okay, because if he has the Netina Gzera Shava, it would have been smarter for him to learn the Netina Me'eved. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon, Micha Micha Gamar. He learned it from the root Mach. Ki Yamuch Achicha Imach, it says by us, right? That was in Bayikra Kafe. Okay, when he gets sold, when he gets impoverished and he gets sold to you. And it says it by the Erech of a person, the Imachu Me'erkecha. If he doesn't have enough money to pay for his value, then they go to the Kohen and the Kohen evaluates how much he should pay. So since both words are used there, they make a Zera Sheva from there, and then you don't say, oh, well, maybe you should have learned Zera Sheva to the Eved, the Shor Nagach case, because that word doesn't appear there. Bishlama the Rabbi Meir. Now we're going to go back to this Tzon, Goren, and Yekev. Rabbi Meir makes the most sense, because Hainu Dichtiv, Tzon, Goren, V'Yekev, that you need to give five of each. Ela, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Hait, Tzon, Goren, V'Yekev, Lamali. What do you learn from there? Because according to them, you just give one amount. You don't give an amount of each, according to what they said.
Yes.
Hainu Baile, L'chiditanya. They need it for a Braita. What does this Braita say? Yechol lo yuhumin mani kim ela mitzon, Goren, V'Yekev. Minayin, L'Rabbo, Kol Davar. Here comes our our klal upratu klal, you might have thought you only bring it from those three things. Where do we learn that you can actually bring everything? Tamud lamar shebaracha Hashem Elokecha. From what God blessed you, which seems to be a klal. So im ke matam lomar tzon gorev yekev. So why did it specify? Lomar lacha matzon gorev yekev miyuchadim sheyeshna bichlal bracha. Af kol sheyeshna bichlal bracha. Yatzu ksafim divrei Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Amir yatzu pradot. What do they say? What's unique to these three things? They all multiply or grow. Okay? They're things like sown, right? They multiply. The goren, it grows, right? More you plant wheat, more wheat grows. The yekev also, the grapes, they grow more. So those things all reproduce. So according to Rabbi Shimon, we're going to take out kesef, because kesef, right? Kesef, money doesn't grow on trees. Here you have it, okay? Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yaakov says pradot, mules. Mules are this mix between a horse and a donkey, and they don't multiply, okay? They can't reproduce. So therefore, you can't get pradot according to him. So now we're going to talk about, right, each one says only one. What about the other? Okay, what's unique about these things?
This is like, don't give a man a fish, but teach him to fish, right? You're giving him severance of things that will be able to...
Yeah, fed. Exactly, right. You're giving him things that can actually... Very good. You're giving him things that can help him to make more money off of them.
Or at least survive.
You exactly. So now, life. Obviously, you're going to say, well, money also, you can invest, right?
In other words, so there's interest.
Exactly. So, Rabbi Shimon... Why doesn't he mima'ek pradot? Because what does he say? Pradot mishpacham begufayu. They do grow, their bodies grow. In other words, they get larger, meaning they increase in value as time goes on. Because the larger they are, the more work they can do. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, ksafim avibu iska. You can make an investment. Now, obviously, you can lose your money, but you can also possibly make money. Utsricha. So now, why do we need all three? You might have thought it's only animals and not things that grow. Therefore, katav rachmana goren. V'katav rachmana goren, we would have thought the opposite, right? Havamina gidulei karka, only things that grow from the ground. In bale chayim lo, but maybe you can't give them animals. Therefore, katav rachmana tzon. But yekev lamali, it still doesn't explain why you need yekev. Lemar lemute ksafim, and lemar lemute pradot. It depends who you are, right? The guy who's, in other words, the tzon and the goren are all to teach you animals and produce. But then you have to say, well, how are we mima'et something extra? Ah, the yekev comes to say, but only these things and not other things. Okay, and therefore, according to one guy, it was to get rid of kesef, the other guy to get rid of the pradot. Tana Rabbanan, another bright. Asher berach Hashem Elokecha. Yachol, now what does this say? Because God blessed you. So now they're going to connect this. This is like Yosef. Remember, Yosef goes to Potiphar's house and it said that the house was blessed because of Yosef? So now they're going to say, maybe you're giving him money because he made things better in your house. But what if he didn't? What if he was a bad worker, right? This is, do you have to give severance pay to everyone? Or maybe only you give to someone who you value, who added value to you. Yachol nitbarech b'ayit biglalo ma'anikim lo. Lo nitbarech b'ayit biglalo e ma'anikim lo. You might have thought only if your house is blessed because of him, you have to give him a gift. Tamud lamar ha'anik ta'anik mikol makom. The double lashon comes to teach you. He gets it no matter what. Im kem ma tamud lamar asher be'rachecha. So then why does it say asher be'rachecha? So what do they say? Hakol lefi bracha tein lo. In other words, you can give him more if he did better for you, right? You can... Right, just like severance pay, you can add if you want, right? But there's a minimum. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Dvarim Kichtavam. He has a different approach. He says, no. Nitbarech b'ayit biglalo ma'anikim lo. Lo nitbarech b'ayit biglalo e ma'anikim lo. He only gets the severance pay if he actually made things good for you. Im kein matam lomar ha'anek ta'anik. So what's the double lashon? He says simply, Dibratarak lashon b'nei Adam. Okay, there's two approaches always to darshaning, right? There was Rabbi Akiva who darshaned every... You know, every et in the Torah and every kotz and all that. And then there's the people who say, no, Dibra Torah Kalashon B'nei Adam, we don't darshan everything. Tana Rabbanan. Eved Ivri Ovedet HaBen Ve'eno Ovedet HaBat. Okay, an Eved Ivri works for the son, but doesn't work for the daughter. Meaning, if there's a Yoresh that's a son, then it goes to the son. But if the Yoresh is a daughter, he has no sons, the Yoreshet is a daughter, then he doesn't work for the daughter. Amayvriya, I wonder if that's for sneut reasons somewhat, that we don't want this woman who's living maybe on her own because she has no other male relatives inheriting a male slave. You know, maybe there's some issue there. What were you saying?
Didn't we learn that
you can't pass it down to the
Shishim? We're going to get to this, but which kind of Evid can't you pass down? It's confusing. The Evid Kanani doesn't get passed down. The Evid Kanani, right. Sorry. No. Evid Ivri. Yeah, we did learn that. So 1 second. Imet Azonav Ovedet Beno. Oh, yeah. It doesn't get passed down, but he does, right. That's what we said. We said the Evid Kanani gets passed down, not the Amai Vriya. But the, that's Meit Adom. Remember, the Meit Adom was unique to the Amai Vriya. But Meit Adom would not be Meshachwer, the Evid Ivri. The Evid Ivri would continue to work. Right, that's what we learned. Right, but we said, but not benotechem. We don't do the amai vriya. It excluded the amai vriya. Didn't exclude the evid ivri. That was the whole thing of Rish Lakish. But mitat. Well, he said not only mitat adon, also mitat av. When mitat adon was listed, it was only for the amai vriya. Okay, but the evid ivri goes passages down to the son until the 6 years are up. I believe that a nirtzah doesn't go to the child. In other words, there's two types of Evid Ivri. There's the Evid Ivri who was working for 6 years. He has to finish his 6 years. If he pierced his ear, he only works till the Adon dies. When the Adon dies, he doesn't get passed down to the children. So, Evid Ivri ovedet haben ve'eno ovedet habat. Amai Ivriya eino ovedet lo et haben ve'lo et habat. Right? She doesn't belong to anyone. Right, and here it is. Hanirtza v'hanimkar lo oved kochavim eino oved lo et haben ve'lo et habat. Okay, so if he's got the ear pierced, he stayed longer, then it's only for him and the Adon and not for the sons. Amar Mar. Now we're going to go into this. Evid Ivri ovedet haben ve'eno ovedet habat. Menane mile, detana rabanan v'avadcha shesh shanim. He works for you, Sheshanim. Lecha velo liyoresh. You and not the guy you inherited. Ata omer, lecha velo liyoresh? O eno ela, lecha velo leben. Did you say lo liyoresh, or did you mean, and not even to his son? In other words, yoresh is a general term, like all his other relatives. What's it teaching you? It only goes to his son, but not to his other, if there's no sons, doesn't go to his brother or his father. Okay, keshuho omer Sheshanim yavod. How do we learn this? Hare leben amor. Okay, in other words, on the one hand, it says va'avadcha sheshanim, who worked for you, only you. But your son is really an outgrowth of you. And since it says sheshanim yavod, he has to work in any case, it means he has to work even for the son. So again, there's the exclusion and inclusion. Amor, hamani makayem va'avadcha sheshanim. So then what do we do with va'avadcha sheshanim? You only, what does it mean? Lechavaloli yoresh. In other words, you and not other, you, your son, but not anyone else. So again, why the son included and not the brother? We're mirabeh the ben. Why? Because the ben is in place of the father. When it comes to Amavriya, for example, he can marry the girl, right? Just like the father can marry the girl also. This is another case of if you sell your field. Remember this correctly. If someone redeems your field, okay, you sell it and someone else redeems it, then it doesn't go back to you at the Yovel. But if your son redeems it, it's as if you redeemed it yourself. In other words, if you redeemed your field yourself, then you get it back at Yovel. But if someone else redeems it, it doesn't go back to you at Yovel. But if your son redeems it, then as you sold the field because you need the money, your son bought it back for you, it becomes yours at Yovel. It doesn't stay, it's like as if it's yours. So now they say there's two things there, that a son is like you. So they say, but adarabah, marbani ata'af, shekein kam tachad achiv li'ibum. That's what bigger thing could you have than the brother marries your wife? In other words, that's like he's really in your place. So klum yesh yibum, elab mkom sheyesh bein, they say, but there's no yibum unless you have a son. You don't have a son. So in other words, a son is clearly better. Okay? Ha yesh bein, ein yibum. You see, if there is a son, there's no yibum. So clearly the son is more important.
So the son could marry his father's wife?
No, he couldn't. But they're saying that, right, there's no point for Yibum in that case.
Right.
So they're basically saying a son outbeats doing Yibum. Yibum makes you, you're filling in for him, but only in the case where there's no son, because the son is clearly more important. So then they say, are you saying that that's the reason? Because we have that, to knock it down. Otherwise, a brother would be adif. But typically, you have a better answer. We give two things that the ben takes the place of the father, and only one that the brother does. So why wouldn't you just say that? So they say no. The whole reason they got to Ste'achuza was because of the Yibum. In other words, they gave this... Sometimes you can have two against one, but they're all... two could be an outgrowth of the same thing. In other words, the whole reason you get the Ste'achuza is because we say this pircha of... It's backwards. It's saying, if you didn't have that answer, well, then you could have said two against one. But if you didn't have that answer of the Yibum, the Ben being stronger than the Yibum, then you wouldn't have had that the whole thing, law of Ste'achuza is learned from that line. And therefore, Ste'achuza is an outgrowth of that. And that's why if you didn't have that, you wouldn't be able to say two against one. Because if you didn't have that excuse, you wouldn't even have the Ste'achuza. The Ste'achuza wouldn't, the son wouldn't be like the father in the Ste'achuza case. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up from the Amai Vriah tomorrow.